Hey, everybody. Thanks for being here. This is Duke Krieger, and welcome to the Misfit Toy Society training course broadcast. I'm so glad that you're here. It's a pleasure and a thrill just to know that we can do anything to help you and support you in your enjoying your life and being best friends with God, and in you enjoying your life with Him, being best friends, being an influence to others, showing people that this life is not just live and die. This is all there is, and misery, everything in between. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is better. There is help. There is someone waiting to help. There are options that are more than just live in misery and die and be more miserable. You know what I mean? So that's what the point of all these courses are, is to help arm you, equip you, help improve areas of your life you want improvement in. And as I've said before, I want you to know that we don't just think these up and like, oh, that'll be good content. And I know that content creation's a thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. Our content comes from God showing us how to live on this stuff, and then at the right place and the right time, at His signal and His say-so, we share it. Instead of practicing what we preach, we share what we practice. We give you what we're, and that doesn't mean like we have it all, you know, got our little expert badge rating on our chest or anything like that, but we have used it and we have applied it, and it's helped us, and it's brought some relief and some help to us. And if it helps us, we're expecting it to help you and more. I remember a story with a friend of mine. And this leads into what we're talking about today. We were talking about being able to, now that you're best friends with God and you're in a blood covenant with Him, that you can turn things over to Him. If he's the one more qualified to handle so many things. I was really struck early on, I say relearning. I really hadn't learned it the first time, but you know, just for our talk, you'll know what I mean. So, relearning some of these things that I thought that I knew, but that I really hadn't. I mentally had a grasp of them. I could repeat them okay, but I didn't know how to apply them or get results with them. Does that make sense? So, I was going over them, and I was like, "Wow, I can turn this over to you. I can take this problem and let you handle it." Like, and you know, in my mind, you know, I coming up as a, you know, an American male, I thought like, well, isn't that irresponsible? You know, isn't that, I'm just giving it to you to handle. Isn't that, you know, shouldn't I be doing something? And the boss really let me know. I mean, the Lord had to get it over to me and speak to me in my heart. I don't mean audible voice, you know, Moses, burning bush. I mean, just in my heart, communication by His Spirit, like all of us have a right to and access to. He let me know, like, you are doing something. You're delegating the problem to me. You're putting it into the hands of the most capable person in this unit, in this team. Isn't that the right thing to do? Like, yeah, I mean, listen, if in my, you know, circle of friends, there's a medical emergency, and maybe 4 out of 5 of us have barely passed a TCCC course, or which is a, you know, a combat medicine course, or you know, even a first responder, you know, CPR course. But then the fifth friend, you know, the 1 out of 5, the fifth friend is a world renowned cardiothoracic surgeon. Wouldn't you go to him? Wouldn't you like, oh, no, we can handle it. We can handle it. You know, let's go on YouTube and figure out how to do open heart surgery. Stupid. Stop. He's your buddy. Talk to him. At least get his input. You know what I mean? Like, at least take the, let him have a chance to talk to you about it. But what do? We walk around with God and we're like, oh, you know, God, thank you so much for being my father and best friend. And then a problem comes up, and we're like, what are we going to do? And he's like in the corner going, guys, I live for this. This is my thing. This is my jam, dog. Just talk to me. And we're like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And at least give him an opportunity to have a little bit of input. You know what I mean? Like, at least give him a shot. And that really, hey, listen, it sounds funny now, but that really took a while for me to get. And especially as behind the power curve as I was having, you know, the thought of taking my family across country, you know, in a car ride, I would have just nearly full blown panic attacks over. I couldn't think about it. I'd have to squeeze my eyes shut and I'd find myself rocking back and forth and just at the thought of, you know, our safety and things like that. So, you know, sometimes I've shared things along the lines of, taking problems and giving it to the Lord and letting him handle it. And people have, listen, I get it. When we're under pressure, especially when we're in the grip of anxiety and fear and pressure, we can say, all of us, silly things that, you know, in a lucid moment, in a calm moment, in a peace moment, we would like, I'm shocked I would even say something like that. But we don't know what's going to come out of us until we get squeezed. You know what I mean? So, and I've had people say, well, that's easy for you to say. We never said anything about quote unquote easy, but there is a solution. Listen, it can be extremely challenging to under the gun, so to speak, like on the spot, in the moment, against every feeling and mental awareness that you have of your senses, take a right turn from all of that storm going on in your emotions and in your senses and decide to act like what God said is true and to do what he's coached you to do, both in print, in the written copy of the Blood Covenant, and then also what his Spirit's leading you to do. Think about Jesus, for example. There was a woman who had been taken in the act of adultery. It was a whole setup. It was a whole frame job, right? It was a whole frame job. They were going to try to catch him in his words. And they were going to make him, you know, catch him in a moment where he'd gone against the Mosaic law, the law of Moses. And so there's a whole crowd of them, and they interrupt his, he was teaching us like a school circle setup. Like, people gathered around him and they'd sat down because, listen, it's hot in Jerusalem. And they were sitting around talking, and a whole crowd of these religious buzzards just showed up, like, you know, throw down with him. And so then there's all the people looking on, and I don't know if you've ever been in a social circle where you've been put on the spot and everybody's looking at you, and, you know, or a, you know, a group fight. And listen, this wasn't no, you know, some kind of peaceful, you know, showdown. They were looking to stone him. They were looking to execute him on the spot legally. And so they say, Rabbi, this woman was taken in the act of adultery. In the very act. Well, I've always wanted to know, they took the woman, but where's the dude? Where the dude at? Where's the dude at? My personal, listen, I don't have scripture for this. This isn't a revelation. My hunch, it's just a hunch. Hunch, on the record, hunch. He's in the crowd. You know, imagine volunteering for that job. Anyway, but they say, Master, this woman was taken in the very act of adultery. Moses said she should be stoned, but what saith, you know, what do you say about it? And do you know what he did? Jesus did? Absolutely nothing. He just stopped and he waited. So the gospel account says he stooped and wrote on the ground. I think he just stooped down and started to just doodle in the sand. You know, run his finger through the sand, listen, man, this guy's a master. He knows what he's doing. So he's going to reorient and just act like they're not there. He's not going to speak out of pressure. The devil already tried that in Luke chapter 4. Remember when the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness? One of the things was, behind all of this pressure, you know, the temptation of turning the rocks into bread, you know, jump from the pillar, or, you know, jump from the pinnacle of the temple to prove that he was, you know, the Christ, or to kneel down and to avoid, and have all these kingdoms be given over to him. One of the you know, those are all temptations, but behind that, there was a pressure to do something or say something that his father didn't tell him to do or say. And behind all the pressure and all the piling on, if you haven't noticed it, one of the Satan and darkness's favorite techniques is to pile things up on you. So it's not just one thing, it's the emotions of it, and then he adds more of it, and then he makes your family act like knuckleheads, and then there's more, and there's more, and there's more, and then you go on, you try to get a little relief, and you want to look at Facebook and see something funny, and then there's more people talking about the news, and it just piles on even more, and then it's just like, can I just get a breath of air? And you feel like you're drowning, mentally. I get it. So, Jesus just waits. Now, we know in the 14th chapter of John, and particularly verse 10, and in other passages in John, and in other places he references it and agrees in the other Gospels, he stated as a fact that he said, I don't speak the words that I speak of my own doing. I'm paraphrasing, understand? He said, but the Father that's within me gives these words, and he does the works behind him. Like he makes them come to pass. I just say what I hear. Fifth chapter of John, he says that whatever I do, I'm doing because I first saw my Father in heaven do it. Meaning it was revealed to me. I saw it in my heart. I had an image. I had a leading. I knew what was next because he revealed it to me. We're in league together. One of the scriptures in that fifth chapter of John says it like this. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself doeth. We could say it in your and I. Term just everyday English, the Father and the Son work together as friends and brothers. So why wouldn't he show his friend and his brother what he's doing? You see what I'm saying? So he's waiting for that. That's what he's doing. He's waiting. Well, before we even go further with what we're going to talk about, let's practice that technique. Let's stop and wait and shut things out, no matter how much pressure. Shannon and I have experienced this where you're told how much a repair is going to cost. What are you going to do now? You know, a car repair, something like that. Hey, just wait. Take it home. Sit on it. You understand what I'm saying? Like just, hey, walk across the street, get a cup of coffee. And just wait a second. And while you're doing that, we've referenced this before, but 1 Samuel chapter 30, be like David. Remind yourself of who God is. He's your best friend, and there's nothing greater than him. He is the man. You know what I mean? Like there's no God beside him, and there's no one bigger than him. Just take a minute. And most of all, he's your very best friend, and he's absolutely committed to you. He is all in all the time with you. So just stop for a second. Be like, boss, what do you got to say about this? I need some help. Just be honest with them. We don't have time to put on some, you know, classical form of prayer. God spare me from that junk. That's going to get you killed or at least waste the time. You don't have the luxury of that. Just be frank. Just, you know, and you don't listen. You don't have to go into the Starbucks and start weeping and wailing and throw sackcloth and ashes on yourself. I don't know if anybody would even notice in a Starbucks. They might be like, oh, it's performance art. But no, just settle. Just take a moment. Sit down. Just listen. Say, oh, sir, you are my best friend. You have made me yours. What do you want me to do? And then just wait. Your mind, I'm going to tell you right now, is going to give you about 300 different ideas and none of them are helpful. You're waiting on that one to come up from your heart, your insides. But this also dovetails perfectly into what we wanted to talk about. So what I was talking about when we first got started with my friend, I was talking to him about how we could turn things over to God. We could turn things over to him. We could 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this. This is a perfect place to to, you know, plant our flag, make a waypoint right here and go from here. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, that's a little, just because of the King James here, that's a little bit, well, King Jamesy. But I like it so much because, you know, I've gotten a lot of mileage out of this verse, my friends. Let me tell you, this is a tried and true, reliable one for me. But the Amplified Bible, the Amplified Classic, if you're reading along in your Takarta Bible, the app on your phone or your device, says it like this. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your concerns, and all your worries once and for all upon him, for he cares about you affectionately and cares for you watchfully. Look at how much you're giving him. You're not keeping half of it and giving him the other half. You're sliding it all, you know, you're pushing it all over to his side of the table. And you're saying, best friend, handle this for me. I'm giving this to you. And do you know what happens after you give it to him? He takes it. So don't take it back. Don't walk away with it. Don't tell him all about your problems and then throw them back in your backpack and walk out, you know, of the, you know, having lunch with him. You know what I mean? Like if you're meeting him for a burger and you tell him all about your problems, he's like, great. Hand him to me. I'll take him. Oh, no, no. And I mean, this is my cross to bear. And I'm just, you know, I'm pleasing you. Listen, this religious shenanigans of pleasing God by carrying these burdens is the devil. It is despicably evil that men and women and children have been twisted into thinking that God is somehow pleased by carrying burdens and glorifying him with them. And as they grind us to dust, I don't know any, even barely decent friend that would see you in misery and problems up to your eyeballs and be like, you know, you're just making me feel so good, and I'm so pleased about all your misery. Shut up. You had to go to church somewhere to believe something that stupid. Come on, let's just dispense with all that. What good friend, don't even think about good shepherd, would you know, have his sheep be slowly destroyed by circumstances and have it make him look good somehow. Forget about that. What about just a good friend? If you and I, just as naturally born human men and women, can see a friend in need and be like, hey, can I help you? How much more do you think your best friend, God in heaven, and his son, our elder brother and best friend, blood covenantly devoted and committed to us with every fiber of their being. Of their own volition. We didn't even get them to do it. They did it first before we ever even knew about it. Look at us and go, hey, can I help? Can I take all of this from you and handle it for you? That's what he wants. Well, after you do that and you make the smart choice and you say, sir, handle this for me. I'm done carrying it. I give all this to you. I cast all this over on you. Leave it there. Trust him that he's got it and don't take it back. It has now passed from your ownership to his. It's no longer yours. And your mind and feelings are going to be manipulated against you to try to get it to take it back. Oh, I did it, Duke. I did it, but I kept thinking about it. Well, of course you're going to keep thinking about it. That's the next part of the fight. It's not a fight as though it's still in doubt of who's going to win. It's just that your feelings and your mind are going to work against you while you start practicing this more and more. That's normal. There's nothing wrong with you. But you can win over that too. You just out loud remind yourself, the devil, darkness, and God, your best friend. Nope, I don't have that. I gave it to him. He's got it. He's handling it. End of story. And then act like he's handling it. Right in the middle of not feeling like that at all. Act like he's got the problem. Act like he's got your cares and your worries. I don't care. Well, we'll talk about this more in a minute. This will work for anything. This will absolutely work for anything. But we're going to get more into that in a minute. So don't forget about my conversation with my buddy. You remember that, right? We were talking about this. He's like, oh, man, you mean like don't touch the wheel? I'm like, wait, what? Now, I've been practicing this for about a year and a half by this point. Okay. Now, maybe a year and 8 months, a little under 2 years. Let's just say that under 2 years. And he and I have been talking about, like, you know, for this, metaphorically speaking, about 5 minutes. Maybe it was a couple hours, but, you know, we'd only been talking about this very, very briefly. He goes, oh, you mean like don't touch the wheel? I'm like, what do you mean don't touch the wheel? If I'm riding in the car with Jesus and I'm his passenger, I'm letting him drive. I'm like, yeah, got it. I like it so far. And he goes, so I don't reach over and just crank on the wheel? I went, oh, my word, that's perfect. That's perfect. Not only did he get it quick, and I had to get over that. I'm like, wait a minute. You got that so quick. That's not fair. But that's the way it's supposed to. It shouldn't take us long. We should be able to grasp this and be like, oh, got it. Yeah, of course. It just took me that long. But it, for him, yeah, he got it right then, you know, so quick. And that's how I'm asking God and trusting him to help you get it quicker than it took me. And I'm trusting him to use this to get it over to you quick. Once you put it in his hands, leave it there. How do you put it in his hands? Do you feel like it's gone? No, you're going to feel, many times you're going to feel like you still have the problem. Many times you're still going to feel like you have the worry. As you, again, as you get started in this, you're going to practice this more and more, and it's going to get more simple for you. And you're going to be able to also take note of that there's more going on than just your feelings and your thoughts. You're going to be able to, as you do this more and more, listen, you're not going to be able to do this more and more unless you take time to look this up in the scriptures that we're in the waypoints, in the things that your blood covenant best friend has said to you on record. One of them being that 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, that particular passage. We're going to need to take time. Now, is this an obligation? Like, is this a chore? Like, are we, you know, weed whipping around the house and taking the trash out? No. Forget about the chores, you know, the chore mentality. No. You're absorbing and reminding your insides what he has said. There's enough things yelling at you, squawking at you, and talking to you through your mind, through your emotions, and through the world system, the media, and all the other ways that voices are broadcast to you. That we need to, on purpose, tune all that out as much as possible and tune in and let him speak to us through what he's already said in the book and what he's saying to us in our hearts. And they'll agree. You're not going to get something wild and kooky and be like, that's the Lord talking to me. Well, it's going to agree with what he's already said in blood. He's not going to cut cross grain with what he's already spoken on the record in his own blood. Does that make sense to everybody? Awesome. So listen, don't touch the wheel. Let him handle, let him drive. Once you put him in the driver's seat and hand him the keys, let him drive. Let him even be, go with me on this thought. Put yourself in that car. Lean back into that rich Corinthian leather. Let him pick the channel. Let him pick the playlist. And let him drive and just enjoy the drive. Something comes up. Yeah, but what about? Have you ever had the what abouts? The thoughts that come up? Yeah, but what about? I have too. Listen, if we're being honest, all of us have. Anybody who's endeavored to apply this technique from God, this tactic, this procedure, this TTP, dare I say we're making it an SOP, a standard operating procedure, at the first sign of any care, anxiety, or problem, or worry, this is how we handle it. We remind ourselves we can put all of this in his hands because he cares for us. affectionately and watchfully. He's watching over us and looking out for us. He's got our back, and he's looking out for things up ahead. That's a best friend, man. That's what best friends do. Hashtag, that's what best friends do. I like that. So yeah, don't touch the wheel. So now that we've, you know, taken a nice chunk here of time and introduced this, talking about it, about how we're delegating problems to God, I want to show you, tell you about a situation I had happen at the end of last month. We're in the month of June now, June 2022. And about the middle to end of last month, man, just, I had, and listen, it's really easy to let it happen. And don't think you're some sort of failure because you've gotten your mind or your ears more on to current events or news or things like that. It's very easy to let it happen. So what happens when that, what happens when that happens? What do we need to do when that happens? We need to let the Lord alert us to it. Number one, I prayed this prayer years ago, and I prayed it, but I'm so glad that he hadn't forgotten. But we ask the Lord, say, sir, help me with my attention. If I get too caught up in the bad, unbelieving, non-covenant news and goings on of life on this earth, check me, alert me, let me know. Well, then what do? I sit down with him, be quiet, and decide that to put my mind on him, my thoughts on him, on what he said. He's there inside me and inside you, in our hearts, in our spirits, and we can listen to him. He's our best friend. That's what Jesus said that he was sending the Holy Spirit for. He said, I'm going to send another comforter. That's John 14:16. Write that down. John 14:16. He said, I'm going to send another comforter. One of my favorite translation of another comforter is this: a friend just like me. I'm going to send you a friend just like me. He said, he'll live and dwell with you forever. Jesus had to sleep. He had to go to other towns. He had to go here, he had to go there. And he was only here for a very brief moment of time. Yeah, it was 33 plus years, but that's over like that. You know what I mean? He said, I'm going to send you a friend just like me to live with us. The Lord gave me this years ago, and I'm so thankful for it. You know, I thought about what would it be like to walk on the earth with Jesus, you know, in his posse, with his boys. And the Lord, just as fast as I thought that, the Lord gave me this in my heart. Exactly like it is to walk with the Holy Spirit now. They are exactly the same. Except for this one thing. The Holy Spirit lives in us and with us forever. Isn't that great? Listen, you're not, you don't have a second class relationship with God. You've got the best. You've got the best. I don't care what you don't have as far as training or background or biography or family upbringing. If you've got him, brother, you are ahead of the game. I can hear Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Let me tell you something, brother. Listen, you are not behind in anything. And anything you may need to learn or know or get spun up on or get ahead with, he'll help you. He'll help you. Maybe the idea of delegating problems to God seems like an absolute foreign concept to you. And you're like, man, that sounds great, but I don't even know how to do that or get started. That's okay. I didn't either. I'm so glad. That's why we're recording this, so you can hear us talk about it. And by listening to it, God will begin to show you how to work it in your own life and how to apply it. My number one need, and we're going to get to my story about the last month, end of May, in just a second. My number one need was to know this. I needed to know that if I'm holding on to the problem and trying to answer it in my own mind or figure out a solution, which is where so much of the stress comes from. He doesn't have it. Only one person can work on this stuff at one time, God or me. And hey, I'm done trying to be the one to handle stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm giving it to him. So I had to decide, I got to give it to him. And it's my choice. And it, that's the decision part of this. It is a quality decision. We are deciding to give it to him. And once he's got it, I would even in my room hold up both hands in like the I surrender pose and be like, I'm not taking him back. You've got it. End of story. Listen, we don't just do this flippantly. These are real decisions and these are real things that come up. We don't just go through the, you know, Namini Patri, Spiritus, Spiritus Sancti, Amen. I'm giving this problem to you, Lord. And like we just flippantly pray a, you know, a, make some sort of holy gesture, you know, in front of ourselves. And this, these aren't, we're not casting spells. You understand what I mean? These aren't talisman things and we just go through some ritual. We're not lighting candles and chicken blood. You know, this is a person. God is the best person. He's a great person. And that's who we're talking to. Listen, you've heard us talk about this in times past recently. But we're treating him like a best friend. Let that be your mentality with this and anything else that we talk about doing as far as getting results in our life from God's written covenant and by the help of his living Holy Spirit within our lives. We're treating him like a best friend. So if your best friend says, let me handle this, don't turn him down. You ever had that awkward interaction with a friend like, hey, let me do this for you. And they said, no, it's okay. I've got like, well, obviously not. I'm wanting to step in and help you. Don't fight me to help you. You are allowing me to love you by letting me help you. And it can get real awkward real quick, especially if a friend's like, oh, no, it's okay. We've got, well, if that's what you're doing, you suck at it. Let's just go ahead and admit it now. Compared to God, we suck at handling this stuff. Let him handle it. You know what I'm saying? Just let him handle it. It's not just to let him handle it like it's a nirvana. Like I've let go of my problem. How'd you do it? I have no idea. No, it's not that. We don't arrive at some magical place, some Jesus Shangri-La. We're deciding to to turn over a problem to our best friend. So back to this story at the end of last month. I woke up and listen, I'm very blessed to sleep good. And that didn't come by accident. God coached me on how to, you know, have good night's sleep and how to wake up properly with him. I wake up and I have practiced with his help. Obviously I couldn't do this on my own. Then I start thinking about him first thing. So I wake up and man, I'm so excited about him. And then all of a sudden it's like something hit the windshield. Wham. Here comes thoughts about this news event and this thing going on and this election coming up here in this place. And here comes the, oh no. And the dread and the anxiety and the pressure and the sense of futility. In that I can't figure out how to handle it in my mind. I can't not just handle it. I mean, I don't have an answer for these questions. And I keep turning the problem over and over in my mind, thinking like as though somehow magically I'll suddenly have a thought about how to fix the problem. You understand what I'm saying? As though, yeah, like I'm trying to solve the world's problems in my mind. And I had to get up and, you know, go use the restroom. This was really early in the morning. It was about 5:45. And here come the thoughts. And I don't know whether it was reflex or what, but I just was like, God, man. And before I could even get a prayer out, I was going to say, can you help me with this, please? I heard God say this in my heart. And it was like he took all the things that was trying to mess with my mind. There was about, I want to say about three solid separate issues. And it was like he spread them out before me, one, two, and three. And I heard this in my heart. I am big enough to handle it. Does that mean he's going to get involved in an election? I don't know. What it meant for me was he's big enough for me to turn all that junk over to him and get it out of my hands and then trust that those three problems ain't going to have no effect on me. How can you say that? The blood covenant. Here's another scripture. Isaiah chapter 54 verse, you know what? We're going to read you the exact number. Isaiah 54. Is it verse 14? Do, 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 do. Oh, here we go. Isaiah 54, verse 17. Okay, I was off by two. It says that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you harshly or in judgment, you'll put it down. It says this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And remember, Psalm 23, 1, the Lord is our best friend and our shepherd. The Lord is our best friend. That's the Passion Translation, Psalm 23, 1. You can look that up in your Takata Bible app. The Lord is our best friend. This is the heritage. This is the inheritance. This is the rightful belonging and status of the servants of God, our best friend. He says, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. He said, this is best friend talking. Their status with me is from me. So think about this. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. How does that have an effect on our day and age? Does it mean no physical weapon? Yeah, absolutely. But it also means anything used against you as a weapon. Fear. Fear is weaponized daily, hourly, minutely, especially in the news media and things like that. But also this, weaponized politics. Any politics used against you as a weapon shall not prosper. It may prosper against others who don't know this, but not against you and me. We got to decide, is our blood covenant bigger or is the Democratic Party bigger? Is the blood covenant bigger, the one we have with God and Jesus' blood, or is the Republican Party bigger? The Green Party, the Communist Party, whoever. It don't matter. I don't care. I do not care. Nothing's bigger than our blood covenant with God. Nothing's bigger or greater than our best friendship with God. Amen. So be it. So, as I was walking to the restroom, the Lord says, I'm big enough to handle it. Oh, man. Well, we know this from the 10th chapter of Romans in the 17th verse is that faith or confidence comes by hearing. And hearing by a saying of God, meaning that when we hear what God says about it, it gives us confidence. Man, there was a void where I had no confidence. Well, obviously, I wouldn't be trying to figure it out in my mind. And I got suckered into that thing. I fell victim for one of the classic blunders. In this case, it wasn't getting involved in a land war in Asia. It was trying to solve problems that the media and, you know, social media and news media had put in my attention in my own mind versus turn it over to God. Let him handle it. Jesus said this in that same 14th chapter of John, but it's down around the 26th and 27th verses. He goes, my peace I give unto you. My peace I leave unto you. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Notice, let it. Which means we have a say-so over whether our hearts are troubled or not troubled, pressed, addled, pressured, or not. He said, don't let it. which means we have a choice. And one of the things I'm continually so thankful, so impressed, and so overwhelmed in positive emotion by is how much God's covenant of strong friendship with us in his son Jesus' blood restores to us a say-so over our own destiny. We can choose to let things bother us, or we can choose to deal with it and turn them over to him. Well, when he said that, I'm big enough to handle it. Man, I stopped in my tracks. This is the early morning. I mean, sun's not even fully up yet. And I said, sir, you are absolutely right. I turn it over to you. Let me tell you, I decided then that moment, it's yours. And I could physically sense weight that was invisible to the naked eye, but it felt like it was coming off of my back and my mind. The wrong person was carrying the weight. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is above my pay grade. That is not my job. Listen, carrying weight and burden of all the world's problems, that ain't your job. I'm remembering the doorman in the movie called That Thing You Do that Tom Hanks made years and years ago. And this really amazingly cool man of color was the doorman at this hotel in Los Angeles. And he was yelling at somebody off camera and he said, Hey, now that ain't your job. I have used that. God's used it. I've used it so many times with myself. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, listen, partner, that ain't your job. That's not your job to carry the weight of that. It's his. Listen, if he didn't want to do it, he shouldn't have said it. But he said it. And you know what? If he said it and it's his will and it is, it's in the book in black and white, he's excited to do it. Let him handle it. You're not burdening him. I don't want to trouble God with my problems. Too late. He's already so passionately and committed loving you and dedicated to you. He's announced on record, your problems should be given to him. And that's a blood covenant best friendship. Your problems are my problems. One of my elders in the faith, there was a death in the family, a problem in the family, but he was already engaged to speak and it was too late to cancel. I mean, like he's got to speak. I think it was either that night or the next morning. But he's had all this emotional pressure to go and get involved and help the family. But he's got this obligation that he made on the Lord's behalf. And he took it to the Lord and said, sir, what do I do? And the Lord spoke to him and said, you handle my things and I'll handle your things. Oh, come on, man. I like that so much. Isn't that wonderful? He said, you handle my things and I'll handle your things. And he said, while he was there doing what God told him to do, and just do his job and speak and encourage people and edify them and, you know, and build them up internally, you know, strengthen them internally. He said that things just were miraculously falling into place with his family back home in another state where he was from. God was handling it. Listen, let's just remind ourselves, God ain't no local dude. He is amazing. And you got to hear it like that. He is amazing. He is the original legendary person. This ain't no problem for him. So he's big enough to handle it. Listen, whatever you're doing, even have to pause this right now, go ahead and stop and just write this down. He's big enough to handle it. Say it out loud with me wherever you are right now. He is big enough to handle it. He's big enough to handle it. Amen. So how do you respond to that? You know, when you hear that, we've got to now act like it's true. Well, you decide however you want to say it for you. You don't have to say it like I do. It just needs to be sincere. You're treating him like a best friend. Just be sincere. Mean it. Decide. Boss, I'm letting you handle it. As far as I'm concerned, from this moment forward, you've got it and I don't. That's it. You got to write it down and sign it. Do whatever you need to do to anchor your mind and decide from this moment forward, I don't have this problem. Well, think about it like this. I was getting ready to talk to you guys today. I was thinking about this. I have a major malfunction with a piece of equipment going on in my life. Using this as an analogy, as an example, right? Well, I call over my master mechanic, best friend, right? I mean, other mechanics go to him to get checked out and certify that they're master mechanic. Like, he's the master mechanic, right? Well, I don't, when he comes over, because we're best friends, I don't say, hey, can you fix this? He goes, sure, no problem. And then I walk off. You know what I mean? Like, I don't go, oh, okay, thanks. I'm going to go on inside. Unless he tells me to go inside. He says, hey, all I want you to do is go inside and make us lunch. Then I'll go inside and make lunch. I'm doing my part. But notice my part in the issue is to, number one, let him handle it. Decide to turn the problem over to him. Then two, do whatever he says to do next. If he says, yeah, just stand here and hold this flashlight for me. Perfect. That's what I'll do. What do you want me to do, boss? I work for you in this moment. Yeah, just sit on the stool and keep me company. Great. I'll just sit here and be so grateful and tell you thank you about 24 times. And, well, why don't we do that with God? No, I mean, why don't we? Don't answer the why don't we. Like, well, because we're so. No, no, no. I mean, like, well, let's go ahead and do that with God. Hey, sir, thanks for that. Thank you so much for handling this problem for me. Listen, all throughout the day, once you turn it over to him, thank him that he's handling it. Thank him that it's handled. I'm going to go ahead and put this in right here. This will work with interpersonal problems, especially in this day of social media, everybody being so spread out, and we got text and direct messages and instant messages and phone. Sometimes you can really sweat over, is somebody mad at you? Or is there a problem? The devil will use hidden things and gray areas and questions to harass you. You just got to know this about him. He is such an evil and ornery, destructive cuss. He's a murderer. He's the original serial killer. He's the original evil one. Okay? If he can ruin your day with a thought of what someone else thinks about you, he will be gleeful to use that against you. Meanwhile, in reality, that other person may not even be thinking about you. As far as they're concerned, you're fine. They haven't thought about you in days, and not in a neglectful way. They just, everything, as far as they're concerned, everything's okay. But man, the devil will build up something and make it like, oh, no, you know, they're so mad at you. How could, what could you possibly have done? And like, well, could it be this? I could only come up with three things. And the devil's like, three, I'll give you six more. And you don't know. And then you sweat over it more. And then finally, you know, you're thinking about it morning, noon, and night when you wake up, when you go to bed. Or you can just say, sir, I don't know what's going on, but I turn this problem over to you. I remember having an issue with a very close friend of mine. I thought I had done something to offend them, but I couldn't figure out if I had or what it could have been. And I was starting to catch myself. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. It was him alerting me. But I need to be very accurate with how I describe that, so you don't think that that's, you know, because I'm so good at this. You never get to the place where you've got it automatically made. It is a practice. It is a standard operating procedure that you continually improve at. Okay. There's never a plateau where you've achieved mastery. You get better and better and better and better and better. And you enjoy greater and greater and greater. How about this? It only gets better. Okay. He reminded me, I apologize for stewing on this. I take this whole problem with this, you know, behind the scenes, whatever this is, question with this friend of mine, and I put it in your hands. Thank you. One particular situation like that with a particular friend, that person called me 5 minutes later, and I hadn't heard from them in weeks. I don't want you to think I'm being high maintenance. It was just being used against me in the court of my mind. You understand what I'm saying? As soon as I turned it over to him, he go, hey, what are you doing? Like, there wasn't any problem. You want to know the answer to the mystery? There wasn't. It was all being used to harass me in my own head by darkness and by the devil. Put it in his hands. And boy, did he fix it. The person called me 5 minutes later. I didn't work that. I didn't text them. They just did that. That's not a coincidence, my friends. All right. So, before we wrap this up, I want to read this to you. Psalm 55:12. Psalm 55:12 says, roll, your burden upon the Lord. Upon who? Upon your best friend. And he shall sustain you. Another word for sustain, he shall supply you. He shall take care of you. He shall look after you. How about we just sum it up even better? He shall be a best friend to you. Means he'll do whatever's required. When he says shall here, he shall sustain you, I want you to hear the word shall, S-H-A-L-L. Not that he's dreading it or that he needs to be convinced to do it, as though you need to, you know, like... He's got some invisible, you know, like hand crank where you've got to, you know, dial up his motivation and help, you know, kind of speed things along. This is his will. And he's excited about it. Words can't describe how excited God is to be a friend to you. So when he says he shall sustain you, hear it like this. He's excited to sustain you. He's excited to be a best friend to you. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, we're going back over to the new covenant. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says this. Again, this is one of those, you know, King Jamesy phrases, is be careful for nothing. Or how about this? Don't be anxious, frustrated, worried, or concerned about anything. Well, that wouldn't be enough to just tell you don't. We would have to know what to do about it, right? Like, don't be, that's like saying, don't think about a pink poodle. And now what's being broadcast in your mind? Pink poodle, right? Pink poodle. I don't know where I got that. But don't be careful. Oh, don't worry. Well, now I'm thinking about is worry and care. But he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know what that says? Ask him. Sir, can you handle this for me? Take anything and everything that would make you careful, frustrated. Frustrated is a huge one. Concerned, upset, and take it to him. And then it says this, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. He's not talking about some elaborate hours worth of prayer. How about just this prayer? Boss, this is trying to get my goat. But treat him like a best friend, right? So you just say this. But I don't know what to do with it, but you do. So, sir, I'm turning it over to you. Thank you that you've got it now. I don't have it anymore. Yeah, but my feelings say it's still here. We ain't trusting feelings. They're part of the problem right now. Now we're turning it over to him. hey, if you signed paperwork authorizing someone to have access, like you were in the hospital, signing waiver forms, things like that, you may still feel the same. But something legal is happening. You don't feel, oh, now that I've signed this paper, now that I've signed this release form, I suddenly feel different. Stop. Stop it. I'm talking to you and me. No. We're turning it over to our best friend. We're treating him like a best friend. Amen. All right. So look, before we end this for today, I want you to hear this from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I'm going to open it myself. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32 says this, verse 27. It says, "Behold, I am the Lord." Now, let's translate that and think about it again. Behold, I am your best friend, the God of all flesh. And he says this, is there anything too hard for me? Oh, man, let's go ahead and decide. No, sir, there is not. The prophet Jeremiah said earlier in the 17th verse, only 10 verses prior, says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and stretched out arm." And he said, "And there is nothing too hard for you." There is nothing too hard for you. Man, I tell you what, your biggest doozy of a problem is laughably easy for your best friend to handle. I don't mean he's making fun of it. I mean, he's like, "I thought you were going to bring me something hard. Oh, come here, best friend. I'll handle this for you. This is nothing. I'm excited to handle it for you. I was looking for you to bring me an easy one. Why don't you? This is so easy. It's funny." And he just laughs at it. Where do you get the laughing part? The book of Psalms says he sits in the heavens and laughs. Laughs at these kinds of problems. Hey, listen, this is no big deal for him. Just relax. Let him handle it. You know what happens when you can put these problems in his hands? You relax. You relax. Jesus said this in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, 28th verse. He said, "Come unto me and I'll give you rest. All you that labor and are heavy laden," what are we labored and heavy laden with? Problems, burdens, woes, concerns, aggravations, and frustrations. He said, "I'll give you rest." I like one as he in that same passage, 28 through 30 in Matthew chapter 11. Write it down. Look it up. It'll be a blessing to you. He says, "I'll give you rest for your soul." Oh, I'll take it. I'll take it right now. hey, listen, use that prayer in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, and just decide, "Lord, sir, boss, best friend, Lord, I believe I receive that rest for my soul. Thank you. I take it." Amen. Well, hey, listen, now that you know that there's nothing too hard for him and his right hand made the heavens and the earth, then let's go back to the 5th chapter of 1 Peter and let's look at this again. But go back one verse to the 6th verse. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." Let's say it again, even if you have to write it down in your own Bible next to it or make a note of it in the card of notes, the note feature. Remember what he said. I'm big enough to handle it. He said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you in due time." Think about this, that he may handle your problem. Due time. What's he doing here? Give him the time. Let him fix it. Using that illustration from earlier, as my best friend, the mechanic, I've called him over to the house and he's fixing it. Well, it may take some time to undo the knots. You know what I mean? It may take, he's got to replace the chain and do the wiring, check the circuit board and so on and so forth. And those are all the ones I can think of. But you know it's getting handled. Just let him handle it. But when he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that sounds, again, that sounds very King Jamesy. I want you to hear it like this. I went through every translation that I have for this verse. I think there's something like, I think it was like 24 that I have in my Descartes Bible app. Went through them all. And they all say very similar things. But one of them said, humble yourselves under the powerful arm of God. Another one said, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. And as I began to read them and look at them and think about them, the Lord gave me this illustration. Think about it like this. If you humble yourself under something, you're taking a knee, right? Like you're like, hey, you're in charge and I'm not. You're lowering yourself. But you know what we're really doing here? We're getting out of the way of his power. Meaning that by humbling ourselves, letting him be in charge, letting him be the qualified one to handle this problem. Because look at the very next verse. It's the one we were reading about, casting all your care. The sentences weren't broken up. Men did that. It actually reads like this. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. To hold on to our problems and tell no God we handle it, well, you know, I can handle it, is pride. You think you can do better. You think you're better at this than he is. But he says it's humility. I know the humble get the grace. Look at the fifth verse. He gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. Listen, if you want to be stupid and handle your problems and think that you're showing God something special about you, you go on and do it. It's going to be hard and it'll kill you. It'll flat out kill you. It'll break your health down. It'll break your mind down. It'll break your marriage down, your finances. The devil will run amok in your life and you'll think it was God's fault and you'll die bitter and alone. But you'll just humble yourself and say, sir, it's not, this is above my pay grade. I'm turning this problem over to you. Like you said, I'm giving this to you. He'll handle it. He'll handle it. Amen. You're getting out of the way of his power. And when you get out of the way of his power and you delegate the problem to him, he can go to work. He can go to work. Isn't that good? He really can handle it. And I want to leave you with this thought. He's excited to handle it. He's excited to handle it. He's big enough to handle it. Isn't that good? Man, life is good. Life is so good being best friends with God and letting him be a best friend to you. Amen. Listen, I love you so much. Thanks for listening and being a part of this. Don't be a stranger. And listen, hey, don't be you're not going to hurt our feelings. Listen to this as much as you want. You can go back and listen to it over and over again. I do that myself with things that I listen to help feed my mind, you know, help practice. These are guided meditations. You know what I'm saying? So avail yourself of it. You know, don't be modest. Take as much as you want. Along with that, if you want to be a part of what we're doing here at Misfit Toy Society and know how you can help, our mission and goal with our team, and then we have people who share our stuff and share it in their social media. You can do that too. It takes a team. We can't do it by ourselves. It takes a village. It takes a group and a family and a group of misfits, a Misfit Toy Society. It's not the Misfit Toy singular. It's the Misfit Toy Society to help get this out to people. Well, part of our goal is to get it to every misfit that we can. And if you want to be a part of this financially and support what we're doing and help get it to other misfits and benefit it from it, like you benefited from it, you can go on to our website at misfittoysociety.com and you can go to the pay it forward section and you can do whatever you have in your heart to do and you're excited to do. There's no pull, but we do welcome it and thank you for it. All right, everybody. I love you. As we hit pause on this and part ways today. We'll be back soon with more resources and podcasts, but I want you to hear it. God's big enough to handle it, and he's your best friend, and he loves you, and I love you, and we'll see you soon.